Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
A warm welcome to Craigie Hill Presbyterian, particularly if you're visiting with us. It is lovely to have you along with us at worship here this morning. And also hello to those who are joining with us on the internet. Nice to have you along. Or listening back, we've remember we used to have a phone service that they could phone in live? Well, the people that provided that, it changed. It was a wee bit more difficult. So what we're doing now is actually burning CDs. We've gone back to CDs. Remember CDs? Remember these? You kind of put them into... So we're burning a couple of CDs after each service and then delivering them out to those who need it. So hello to those who are listening to that even later today. Announcements to say, let's see now, the week ahead. Now that's what's happening the week ahead. Wednesday the 24th of May, so that's this incoming Wednesday, Presbytery thought about our Theology Together events and thought that they could try a Wednesday and asked churches not to have their midweek. So no midweek this Wednesday. Instead, Presbytery is asking churches throughout the Presbytery of Carrick to attend Ballinure Presbyterian at 7:30, note that time, and for a Theology Together event. Speakers are Nathan and me. What I'm going to say, I'm not so sure, but Nathan's going to tell me. I think we're talking about providence, and providence then, and how that outworks in ministry. So that's Wednesday. We'll see what we're going to say then. But it's been good. It's been a chance for us to kind of gather, be challenged by a speaker, and then there's normally some tea and coffee, and we ponder things and have a bit of a discussion. And it is only, well, we will all be wrapped up, I promise, by about 9:30. And have you home. So that's 7:30 over at Ballinure Presbyterian and in their halls. Then note, let's see, a little bit further on, but Saturday the 3rd of June, there will be a church work day held on the Saturday to tidy the building and the grounds. All volunteers welcome, and lunch will be provided. See Alan McLean for details. I mean, that's a great day, isn't it? I mean, it's a day when we kind of gather together from early till about lunchtime, and lunch provided, and tidy up and have some fellowship together. So that's the 3rd of June. Then the 4th of June, that's an important day. In the morning time, it's a family service, and we'll have our Sunday school and YF take part in the service. And then in the evening time, it's the ordination of our elder Lex, which will take place at the evening service. And that's a presbytery service at 6:30. I think that's... all the announcements, though if you do have announcements, let Tony know, as we were reminded at the AGM. Let him know and he will get on the sheet. We have a few things happening in June, so organization leaders and those organizing events, let Tony know and we'll get it written down as well. Now, let's be called to worship from Psalm 8. Psalm 8. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and infants, you have established strength because of your foes, to still the enemy and the avenger. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him, the son of man that you care for him? Yet you have made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. You have given him dominion over the works of your hands and put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen and beasts of the field, all birds of the heavens and the fish of the sea, whatever passes along the paths of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. And we gather this morning to worship our majestic Lord, our Savior, our Redeemer, the Creator of all things, and the one to whom we owe all praise. And we want to sing this morning to that end. And we're going to start by singing, How Lovely Is Thy Dwelling Place. Let's stand and sing, shall we?
How
Let's continue, shall we? Let's bow before our Lord and come before him in prayer and in adoration. Let's pray. Oh Lord, there's many places where we come from, Lord. Many and varied, even Lord, as we assemble here this morning, Lord, and we note those. But Lord, we want to sing of the glory of where you are. We want to find ourselves united, Lord, in the worship of you. Lord, we ask that even that you would shut out the door of the world for us and help us, O Lord, this morning to focus our right on you, to note that you are enthroned in heaven, your dwelling place, and that there at that most beautiful of places, there you're seated on a throne of grace. Oh Lord, we thank you that we can worship you under your reign. Lord, that we have received such as undeserved and gracious merit. Lord, we have received it in abundance. And Lord, we praise your name that we have an open access to your dwelling place through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, that the veil is now torn in two and we can enter into the most holy place. Oh Lord, we can approach your throne with boldness. Lord, confident that you can receive us, that you hear us, that you're waiting to be gracious towards us, that you invite us, oh Lord, this morning to pour out our needs before you. Oh Lord, and we have many. As we assemble each home represented, as we have come from our dwelling places, Lord, we recognize that, Lord, we have much need. Lord, there is much sickness, much grief. Lord, much that causes us anxiety. Lord, much that we need to repent of. Lord, much that should be poured out before your throne of grace. And Lord, you promise, O Lord, as we come before you, that you will give us more than we could ever ask or imagine, and we want to claim that promise. Lord, we pray that as we, as we are in that place of pouring out our need, that yet too by your Spirit you would cause us to see our sins that need repented of. We don't want to presume, O Lord, upon the asking upon your grace. And Lord, we repent of our sin, our coldness of heart, our lack of love, our ingratitude to you, our misuse of the gifts that you give us. O Lord, at times our weak worship, our distractions, our inconsistent service. O Lord, we pray that you forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Speak to us, O Lord, even this morning, through the proclamation of your word and the reading of it, that we would hear your peace towards us. Lord, fill us with that peace that passes all understanding, that peace that goes out from this church into our lives, into our homes, into our dwellings, Lord, into the places that we must go, that we would hear that peace. Lord, cause us to drink deeply from the river of life that flows from the throne of God. Feed us, O Lord, with the bread of life, the word of God. And Lord, cause us to have hearts that are more yielded to the Lord Jesus Christ, who alone is the way, the truth, and the life, and in whose name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, we like to read through God's word, and we're in Romans 6 and 15. Well, we start at verse 15, and we'll read through to verse 23, slowly but surely making our way through Paul's letter to the Romans, Romans chapter 6 and verse 15. We'll read 15 to the end. Let's hear God's word to us this morning. What then? Are we to sin because we are not under law but under grace? By no means. Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves to the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness. But thanks be to God that you who were once slaves of sin have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed, and have been set free from sin, but have become slaves of righteousness. And I'm speaking in human terms because of your natural limitations. For just as you once presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness, leading to sanctification. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. But what fruit you were getting at that time from the things of which you are now ashamed. From the end of those things is death. But now you have been set free from sin and become slaves to God. The fruit you get leads to sanctification, and its end, eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We've all learned, haven't we, Romans 6 and 23, Sunday school. The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And we claim that. We remember that. Now, boys and girls, I want to talk to you this morning. A little bit later, we're going to be talking to the grown-ups and those sitting in, the older boys and girls, from Hebrews 11. And we're thinking about faith. And this morning, it's Hebrews 11 and 23 about faith, and faith from Moses' parents. Now, I smiled to myself at Sunday school earlier. Me and Stephen and Lauren were asking you about Moses and what we remembered, because we did Moses at all the way back in September time. Now, what do we remember about Moses? Well, we remembered, of course, that he led the people into the promised land, and we remembered about the plagues, and we remembered all that. But there's one little thing that we didn't mention in Sunday school, and please, we didn't, because we can talk about it now, boys and girls. It was about Moses' parents and their faith. You see, they lived in the time of the Pharaohs, lived in a time when their people were being not very nicely treated at all. And Pharaoh wasn't happy with them, was he? And he didn't want any Israel. Hands up if you're a boy. Oh, yes, a few boys. Well, Pharaoh did not like Israelite boys, and he wanted them gone. He wanted them gone altogether. But Moses' parents had faith in God, and they loved Moses, and they knew that God did not want them to give up their little baby. So they hid Moses for 3 months. Now, does anyone have any noisy baby brothers or sisters? Yeah? Anna, do you? No, yes. There are some noisy baby brothers and sisters. Oh, do you think you could keep them quiet for 3 months? I don't know if you can keep them quiet for 3 weeks. No, or 3 days, or 3 minutes. They're noisy, aren't they? Well, somehow Moses' parents kept Moses safe, nice and safe. But when they could not hide him any longer, they put him in a basket on the river, knowing that God would care for him. And do you remember who found Moses in the basket on the river? Does anybody remember? Who was it? Yeah, shout it out then. The princess. Was that what you were going to say, Joshua? Yeah, the princess. That's right. Pharaoh's daughter, the princess. And she would care for them, and even got Moses' family to look after him. And that was amazing. What an amazing... The Bible in Hebrews 11 and 23 talks about how amazing the faith that Moses' parents had. They trusted God. They trusted that God knew best, that God would keep them, and that God would keep Moses safe. They had great faith in him, great faith in God, and they had even great courage whenever their little child was in danger. They trusted and they prayed and followed God. You know, boys and girls, did you know that you're often in danger? That seems a strange thing to say, but you are often in danger. And, well, I know you maybe not think of it that way, but that's because your parents and those who look after you care for you and protect you. And there are many risks whenever we're growing up. Many risks. You know, there are things outside that can hurt us, hurt our bodies. We can get hurt that way. There are also things that want to hurt us, not just outside, but also on the inside in our heart and how we feel. And then there are even things from our own inside that want to hurt us, bad habits, evil habits, things that we do that will hurt us as well. And I have to tell you, boys and girls, your parents worry about them all. Your parents worry about them all. And not just whenever you're little. I think whenever you get to be older, as I have talked with some who are a lot older, and they worry about their children even whenever they're grown up as well. There are lots of things that we worry about. But you know, boys and girls, your parents, your grandparents, and those who look after you have a great gift from God. Just as Moses' parents had a great gift. It's called faith. Faith that God will protect you. That God will use all means to the right ends. That means that God knows the future. And he works all things to good for those who love him and are called according to his purposes. You know, mummies and daddies and grandparents and aunties and uncles, well, we don't know the future. We don't know the future. But we know God does. And God promises in his word to bless his covenant children. And he tells us to bring the little children, to bring you to him. And that's what we do. We do that in prayer, and we pray for you, and we also protect you, and we instruct you away from danger, and we point you to the right obedience of God. And you know, do you know what the marvelous thing is, boys and girls? That we don't do this alone. We do this as a church family together. We do it as a whole church family. You know, you have lots and lots of people around you. Look who you're sitting beside. A whole church family who worry about they worry too about you and worry about the dangers that you face. But they also trust in God, the God of promises, who keeps you. And then we live in obedience, providing you spiritual direction here in the church. And we provide that safe church home. We have a great gift from God. We have the gift of faith that he blesses us with. And that we know and trust he keeps his promises and see his glory done here. Will we pray about that? Will we thank God for that? Will we pray for you as well that you would flourish as you grow up here amongst us? Let's pray, shall we? Let's pray. Oh Lord, we thank you for the example of Moses' parents who had that faith in you as you gifted them. And faith, despite the danger that little Moses faced, that they knew that the future was in your hands and that you would work to good. And Lord, we pray for our children. Lord, we thank you for them as a church family. Each one of us worry for them. We worry about the dangers that they face, the threats outside to their body, to their little hearts and souls, and even their own habits. Lord, we worry about these things. And Lord, we commit them to you in prayer. As a whole church family, we want to see the thriving of our covenant children. We thank you for those whom you entrust into our care here. And Lord, we pray for those who are involved a little bit more directly in the Sunday school work, in creche, in Boys Brigade, in Girls Brigade, in the YF, Lord, in Mums and Tots, in the many and varied places where we have contact and, Lord, opportunity to bless our young people, to point them in the way that they should go. Oh, Lord, we pray that you would establish them in the faith, that which was prayed for them, Lord, you would bring about. Lord, that they would trust in the Lord Jesus, even from a young age. You would protect them from the evil one. Oh, Lord, we commit them to you, and we remember their parents. Remember their grandparents, those directly involved, oh, Lord, Lord, day to day in that care. And ask, oh Lord, that you would be close to them in this world with many threats, many dangers. Yet they should know that you hold the future, that you are in control. Oh Lord, we pray for Covenant families here in Craigie Hill. So Lord, we ask these things in the strong name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Amen, boys and girls. Now we're going to sing Jesus Bids Us Shine. Would you do that while we sing this lovely hymn together? Let's stand, shall we? Let's stand. Let's open up our Bibles to that passage that we were talking about with the children, Hebrews 11. And we've come to verse 23 of Hebrews 11. I'm going to read 23 through to 31. 23 to 31 of Hebrews 11. By faith. Let's hear God's word. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw that the child was beautiful. They were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. By faith he left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith he kept the Passover, sprinkled the blood, so the destroyer of the firstborn might not touch them. By faith the people crossed the Red Sea as on dry land, but the Egyptians, when they attempted to do the same, were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they'd been encircled for 7 days. By faith, Rahab the prostitute did not perish with those who were disobedient because she had given a friendly welcome to the spies. Amen. We thank the Lord for his word. The grass fades, the flowers wither, but the word of the Lord endures forever. We're going to sing before we come to think about that passage. Psalm 16, in the first half of Psalm 16, the psalmist here, knowing that the Lord is his refuge and asking that the Lord would guide him, the Lord would be his counsel. This is a psalm, a prayer that each one of us needs to make, that you are my Lord, I have no good apart from you. And surely that is the case in our lives, and that is the case in the circumstances we find ourselves in. You are my Lord. I have no good apart from you. Let's stand to sing, shall we? Let's have our Bibles open as we'll go through this passage, Hebrews 11 and 23 to 31. We've been really exploring faith in chapter 11. We've had, if we had three, Martin, something like that thereabouts. And we have maybe this one and one more to do in chapter 11. And we've been exploring faith. We've been thinking about the example of faith and the promise of God in Abel, in Enoch, in Noah, in Abraham, and Sarah, and Isaac, and Jacob, and Joseph. We ended with Joseph last week. And that hoping for God's better provision. In that earthly sense, of course, that one day God would provide the land for Joseph and his even that he would be buried there. And the author continues the discourse on faith by moving then to Moses and the entry into that land. And we move through the eras from that time and directly after Genesis and the Garden of Eden into the Noahic time, then the Abrahamic and the patriarchs. And now Moses. Now Moses. And again and again, I want to remind you, and we've been reminding you, that it is not to be a focus on on these individuals as heroes, as it were, who by their own arm strength kept the faith. That's not the sense of chapter 11. We are to read this chapter and think and boast in God, who has first regard for his children, who keeps his promises and is keeping them, and his children then respond in faith. That Noah and Abraham and Moses here, and even Moses' parents, as we see, respond in faith. And it is the Lord who keeps his promises. And there's a new development, really, this morning that we're going to pull out, a new aspect, as it were, and thinking about faith. And it's faith despite opposition. It's a trust in the promises despite opposition. And that's what we see with Moses' parents. That's what we see with Moses himself. This faith, despite opposition, despite authorities, despite hatred, despite the pleasures of Egypt being offered, faith that holds fast in God's promise. You know, I think that's a message that is of all too much relevance for us today. What is our generation and our lot, if not a people who need a faith, and need a faith in the object of our faith, the Lord Jesus, in spite of opposition and growing opposition. Mark my words, it's growing. We might be able to ignore it, as it were, and try to tune it out, but I mean, I had a wake-up call this past week. Yeah, a wake-up call even this past week. CBBC, that's it's a children's TV station, BBC, our national broadcaster, as it were. And there's a children's channel, and it was on my living room, preaching to my children. It was in my living room, preaching to my children, as it were, about how good and normal this family of two dads were. I walked in and I thought, what is happening here? What is happening? Unless the Lord builds the house, the builders will in vain will strive. And yet it was trying to present that which the Lord hadn't commanded was good, was beautiful. Preaching away to my children. There is an opposition to the glory of Christ. And his word comes. Opposition, as it were, to Christ and his word. And that opposition comes through our phones, through our screens, through our media, through our laws, in our communities. It comes from the old man, the old woman that's in here as well, desiring sin. And there's this calling that I want us to hear this morning, a calling from the passage, a calling to trust the Lord, that his rule and his reign will ever sing, that his will be done, and his endless kingdom will come, that he has the future. And the first example of that faith is in verse 23. The faith, not of Moses actually here, but of his parents, of trusting the promise over hatred. The author goes to Exodus 2 and the first four verses of Exodus 2. Remember the hatred of Pharaoh towards the growth of the Israelites. And we're told that this rapid growth, where else could it be from, but by the Lord's hand. And Moses' father, Amram, and his mother, Jochebed, trusted the promise of God. They trusted the promise of God. And that God had a purpose for their son. And even though it was yet unseen, they saw but a small glimmer of this. And we're told in verse 23, when he was born, hidden for 3 months by his parents, because they saw the child was beautiful. They saw a small glimmer of the promise of God in this beautiful child. Now, I'm not quite sure what the Bible's trying to say here. Does that mean that Moses would have won the bonnie baby contest in the land of Egypt? Well, I don't know. He was a beautiful child. And sufficient, this boy was marked in such a way that their faith was encouraged, that they knew that they could not give in to the hatred of Pharaoh. They could not sacrifice their child. They could not give him up. They were not going to fear the king's hateful edict. And their faith was encouraged. And just like, actually, who else's faith was encouraged in those days? The Hebrew midwives. They did not fear the hateful, cruel edict to murder the male infants of the Israelites either. Sure, they didn't. They told the Pharaoh that they always arrived late. And yet the Lord worked through them and blessed them as well. So the infant boy, Moses, was hidden for 3 months. And when the boy could be hid no longer, into the river, into the basket, he would go. Faithfully, this was not a sacrifice. This was Moses' parents trusting in the God of promise who had marked this child. What a contrast, verse 23, what a contrast between the people of the world and the people of faith. Pharaoh hated the Israelites, feared their infant children growing up, feared that they would be a burden, feared that they would be a threat, militarily so, to him. Children in the ancient world were not valued. Children in the ancient world could be disposed of. They were not cherished as we try to cherish our children. Yet God had a plan and a purpose for his covenant children, for his covenant people. And what Moses' parents did by faith was to see God's purposes, to see that God had a plan. And by faith, they would hold to that, even over the hatred of a king and a world. And not just Moses' parents, but of course the whole community. The whole community. The many of Israel who would not turn to the death merchants of Egypt, but rather turned to the midwives. You know, today we are called yet to be a people who fear the Lord. Who fear the Lord and not man. We are not to fear king's edicts, but rather to see the beautiful purposes of God in this generation and the coming one. You know, sometimes we don't see it so much, but whenever you actually pause and reflect upon it, it comes very clear that this world is not all that actually friendly to children. This world is not all that friendly to children. There's a hatred yet still of children in this age. They are often too seen as a burden. They are seen as limiting your options. Young people are encouraged not to have them young, especially not in your 20s or when your career is just getting going. And all around there's an apathy, as it were, a dismissal of children. You know, what are the first things to be cut whenever sometimes budgets are under pressure? Children's services. We see this in the Board of Governors. We hear of programs that won't be funded anymore. We hear of things that make real difference in school and also in youth clubs. Gone. The face of chop. Not services to you or me or older folk. You see that? To us? No. The world will turn to where it can find easy cuts. Who's the first to be locked up in COVID? Who was the first to be locked up in COVID? Not you or me. Our children. No in-person school for them. When, in fact, as the studies have proven, actually, they get it super mild. And the adults around them actually benefit from the extra layers of immunity. It was amazing. I think God is giving up this modern world to its apathetic nature to children. Giving them up to an irrational fear that there won't be enough resources. Countries are dying because birth rates are plummeting, abortion's soaring, the world watches on. The future for many nation states looks very grey and very old. But we in the church, you and me, are to be an oasis of sense. An oasis of sense that God will provide, that he's building his church. That the way we must trust is through covenant families. Great mark of our assembly. You know what this church was called? The children's church. This was the children's church. We treasure children, and we say that they're beautiful, as Moses was beautiful. It's never a hardship or a distraction to have them in our assembly. Oh, we love to hear them. And we pray that God is pleased to save them from a young age. We are to be counter-cultural, not to fear kings and the edicts of the world, but to fear our Lord and to trust in his promise that he's building his church. There's a trust in the promise that way over hatred. But in this next action, verse 26, Moses himself owns his own faith. The faith of his parents, vital, yes, but his own walk was to be one of trusting in the promise of God over the pleasures of Egypt. Moses refused to be a son of Pharaoh's daughter. He refused the pleasures of the court of Egypt, we're told. I don't know what that pleasure might have looked like. I suspect better than the lot that he would get in an Israelite house. The palace and the wealth and the status, the ease, the comfortable life. The summer house along the Nile. The chance to go and to rest. The lovely time that he would have. Well, he did not go for that, did he? He identified with the people of God when he saw ill treatment of them. There was a stark choice, the palace and the pleasure, or walk the road of faith and stand with the oppressed and stand with those in poverty. Verse 26 is a remarkable statement. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. Moses considered the reproach of Christ greater. What way did Moses consider the reproach of Christ greater? Did he understand? Did he know of Bethlehem, of Mary and Joseph? No. Did he know of the Anointed One? Well, in whatever limited way was available to him, Moses trusted the promise of God, knowing that it was better to be with God's people, identifying with them, better to be with them looking forward to the reward than found in any number of the numerous palaces of wealthy Egypt. This is the reproach of Christ, or the abuse suffered for Christ, to identify with the people of Christ, the poor, the oppressed. What did Lord Jesus say? Whatever you did for the least of these, you did for me. Moses considered the reproach of Christ. He stood with the people of God. And how relevant for the people of the author's time. They're tempted. Where were they tempted to go back to? They're tempted to go back to Moses. We've been saying that again and again. Back to synagogue. Back to the law. Back to looking forward for a Messiah. And the author's telling them, even Moses, their great hero, looks to Christ. That he trusts the promise. That he had faith and stood with God's people. And they must trust the promise over the pleasures of the world. That they must choose the potholed road of abuse for the sake of Christ, rather than the smooth road of friendship with the world. It's Christ's way. It's Christ's way, and that's the only way that leads to reward. Would they give all glory to Christ? That's what the author's challenging them here with, and it's a challenge to you and me. Would we walk this road? Would you walk this road? Your faith in God's promise leads us to say, I don't want what the world's selling. I want what Jesus Christ purchased for me. I don't want what my classmates want and what they are going after in the world. I want what the Lord Jesus tells me is good. I want to follow him. I trust in his reward. I'll bear the reproach of Christ, to be identified with his people, to know that solid joys and lasting treasures Zion's children know, rather than the fleeting pleasures of sin and the world. Is that not a sharper than a two-edged sword to us here this morning? So often we are sold the pleasures of the world. So often as Christian people, we are tempted this way and that. Moses considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth. And we are called to identify with him, with the poor, with the oppressed, to look to Jesus as greater. Trust at the promise over hatred, over pleasure, over fear. Verse 27. The third example of faith is the flight from Egypt. Moses left his land after the killing of the Egyptians by faith. He was not afraid of the Pharaoh and his anger. Undoubtedly, his countrymen knew fear. Even Moses must have felt it in some which way. But here's a faith that overcomes fear. Moses persevered because he saw, what does the Bible tell us? Verse 27, he endured as seeing him who is invisible. He saw him who is invisible. He feared God. Think of those in the author's time. The author to Hebrews. They knew fear too. They fear the authorities. They had fear of the Emperor of Rome. They had fear of this, their from their families who may be persecuting them because they were going and leaving the synagogue and coming to church. And they were this new band of God's faithful people, and they faced much persecution. And the author is pointing them here to the example of Moses, who by faith saw him who was invisible and trusted. And the idiom used here is it's a seen continually. It's not just a trusted on a Sunday and then forgot him about on Monday kind of a seeing him. It's a seeing him who is invisible continually. Your faith in the promise of God is not a Sunday trusting. It is a week long trusting. Christ is not a Sunday faith. He is a Savior to be looked at, to be rested on all week long. All week long. All week long. It's during the week that the fear of man will threaten. It's during the week out in the world where we must remember our God, who is paradoxically unseen by our fleshly eyes and yet seen continually by the eyes of faith. That God has given us a great Redeemer who has claimed us, who keeps us, and who returns for us. What can man do possibly to us that would cause us to fear and serve sin over our Savior? There's times whenever we forget that, we lose hope, we do fear, we sin, and there's need of a gospel reminder that there is forgiveness for the child of God this morning. Forgiveness. He is faithful and just and will forgive you from all unrighteousness. Return to the Lord. Come to a right fear of him who speaks peace and forgiveness. Fear, pleasure, hatred. And yet a faith. Now we turn positively. Verse 28. By faith he kept Passover and sprinkled the blood that the destroyer of the firstborn might not touch them. Faith. Trust the promise for deliverance. Trust in the deliverance of God. And it leads him to do, as verse 28 says, to keep Passover according to God's instructions. Sprinkle the blood of the Lamb. You know, 40 years Moses spent in Midian. He saw the burning bush. He returned to Egypt. He saw the 10 plagues. Nine and then the final. And he challenged the Pharaoh. But it was this example that the author turns to, the high point, the sprinkling of blood, this redemption from the destroyer of the firstborn. It connects back. We've thought about this in chapter 9. Connects back to chapter 9. Remember there, the author speaks of his great high priest who through his blood secures an eternal redemption. Without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sins. Moses had faith in his deliverer. He trusted the promise for deliverance. Even though it looked and sounded way out there. Imagine hearing that for the first time. Sacrifice a lamb. Spread its blood on the lintels of your door. And the destroyer of the firstborn will pass over. And yet, each Israelite household had to do this, that they and their household would be saved. And they look forward to God's deliverance. We have a faith that has to endure over opposition, but our faith is not defined by what we are not. It's important to know that. Our faith is not defined by what we are not. Sometimes the people with a dearth of vision for the future only understand themselves in what they are not. That is not us. We are trusting in the Lord for our deliverance. We're not just trusting despite opposition, despite fear, despite pleasures, despite hatred, defined by what we're not. We're defined by what we are, what the Lord has purchased for us by our deliverance, that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, that there's no other name under heaven by which we will be saved. We shall be saved. We're trusting that if his blood does not mark our life, does not cover our sin, give us his perfect obedience, that then we're lost. We're lost. We're lost in eternity in hell. In our weakness, in our ups and downs, you and I, we're people, when we boil it down, we flee rapidly from sin, from death, from the fire that burns, and we trust in the nail-pierced hands of our Redeemer. We flee to that. That's faith. That's faith to trust the promise of God for deliverance. That's a faith that knows that God has the future, and it builds into that. That's what you see in verses 29 to 31. They trust in the promise for the future. Verse 29, the Red Sea. The Israelites went through the sea by faith. Do you know that? They went through that sea by faith. They were resting on the promise of God that the dry ground would lead them to the other side, that the water would hold, that their future was safe in the deliverer's hands. But look here, look how the author describes the Egyptians. When the Egyptians attempted to do the same, they were drowned. They were drowned. It was the same dry ground. They were right behind them. They were walking or chasing after them. It was the same sea to the left and the right. But were they trusting in the arm of the Almighty God to save them, to give them a future, to give them a promised land? Or were they trusting in their chariots? Were they trusting in their arm to save? Well, they attempted to do the same through the Red Sea, but it was without faith, and they perished. And they perished. There was no faith. It's a wake-up call. We're sitting here. You're sitting here. We're in the Red Sea. What group are you part of? Do you number among the faithful? Are you looking to Jesus, the promise of God, knowing your future is secure by Christ's word and action? That's saving faith. We thought about that last evening, Sunday evening. Is that your experience? Or do you number among the faithless, seeing these mighty acts of God to your left and to your right, attempting to walk on dry ground and thinking that there's an end that you could earn by your own will, even heaven itself? Friend, come to Christ. Have the eyes of faith opened. Not by might, not by strength, but by my Spirit, the word tells us. Let Jesus and his promise for future be your experience. Then you'll not drown. Then the waters will not overwhelm you, as the Lord told Isaiah. I will be with you. Now faith for the future. The walls of Jericho. In London, you know, there's that famous expression with the isn't it, mind the gap with the underground train. Mind the gap. And I think here there's a gap that you need to be mindful of, because you go instantly from the crossing of the Red Sea to the walls of Jericho. What happened in the in-between, the gap? Well, I think the silence speaks to the faithless generation, does it not? The faithless generation that would not see the promised land. But now under Joshua, the people encircled Jericho for 7 days, that faith that God would deliver according to the promise. The people in Jericho laughed. These Israelites walking around. And yet their world was to come to an end rapidly. It's a warning. It's a warning. You might say, I'm not good enough. I've been walking this dry road with the Egyptians too long. I'm faithless. I'm stuck in Jericho. My sins are too great. How can I be saved this morning? God will never take me. Faith isn't for me. Well, look at Rahab the prostitute, who did not perish, who did not die. Why not? She looked to the promise of God for the future. It certainly looked from an earthly perspective that Israel would lose and she would be tried for treason. Yet she gave a home to the spies. She had faith in their God, that their God would be her God, their people her people. The Lord loved her. And he claimed her. And she exercised faith in him and received her reward. If Rahab the prostitute can be saved, you can be saved this morning. You're not beyond the Lord's reach. And today is yet a day of grace. How will we finish? Again and again, in face of opposition, over hatred, over pleasure, over fear, by faith, trusting the promise of God. That he provides deliverance, that he gives future, the promise. They're all yes and amen in Jesus. And we look to Calvary for the keeping. And we keep looking continually to him for his return. That great and wondrous return when every knee will bow and every tongue will confess him Lord. Would we want to be a people like the Pharaoh, like the Egyptians, like the faithless generation of the Israelites, like those in Jericho, and so fail to exercise faith, turn away from God, and so trust in our own arm to save? Perish the thought, I pray not. Flee by faith to Christ, who is greater by far. Let's pray, shall we? Let's pray. O God, the gracious God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you that by your faithful word, Lord, you have filled the dark unknown of the future with the glories of eternity and the certainty of heaven. We thank you, Lord, that you are providing a future. And Lord, may it be true for each one here that we would throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles and run with perseverance the race of faith. Lord, may we be conscious now even that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Enable us to will and live and so die that we shall enter that mansion with many rooms and join the company of those who have been justified by faith and saved by grace. Oh Lord, help us in the circumstances of life. And there are many, Lord, here represented who know hardship, who know suffering at a bedside, Lord, who know grief. Lord, we pray that you would guide them by your wise counsel. Lord, make us willing to hear and submit to your guidance. Remind us that of faith and faith in your Son. Lord, we pray that you would comfort and support those who are sad. Be a friend and companion to the lonely. Be a light to those in darkness. Lord, we commend one another to your gracious care and keeping. Have your way with us and fulfill your purpose. Extend your hand of mercy to us as a nation. We pray for those in authority over us. Lord, that you would grant unto them wisdom. Do not withhold your blessing from them. Lord, help us to seek you while you may be found and call upon you while you are near, that we may not number among the Egyptians or the Pharaoh or those in Jericho who are faithless. But Lord, that you would save us and direct us by your word. Forgive us of our sins and receive us, Lord, we pray. Lord, we ask that even that there would be some lasting benefit from our gathering today. And we thank you, Lord, that we can claim that promise that your word will not return void. We pray this and this for the sake of Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. We're going to end our time. We're going to sing, Oh, for a faith that will not shrink. The final verse. Well, Lord, give us such a faith as this. Then, whatever may come, I'll taste even now this hallowed bliss of an eternal home. Oh, for such a faith. Let's stand and sing. Thank you. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and evermore. Amen.